Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday. I hope everybody is awake and no longer in a food coma from last night. You know, Jacob, I'm running on next to no sleep. I went to bed at 6:30 a.m. I have got hooked on an old show new to me called True Crimes. Don't know if you've seen it. I would recommend it. And I was pushing through season three. It comes down to a two-part finale. Now, there's 19 episodes, okay? So, I mean, I didn't bang these all out yesterday, but I got on a run where, hey, I got to see how this ends. Two-part final episode. And the bad guy gets away at the end. So I assume, naturally, that this is going to carry over into season one or episode one of season four. So I then go and purchase that. These weren't on demand. It was on demand for a purchase. So I purchased that and watched season one just to watch this guy, who is a great creep, get caught. They never touched it again. They went into a totally new storyline. So now I'm pissed. I'm thinking, I missed an episode. What happened here? I finally, you know, now this represents about 10 minutes past 6 a.m. I haven't been to sleep yet. I go online to start looking this up to figure out where this missing episode is. Well, there isn't one. That was the guy got away. Now, you could see where I would believe that's going to continue. Nobody gets away. That's a giant F you to the audience. That's a giant middle finger to your audience who just watched 19 episodes. Now, understand how I'm doing. I can do it back to back to back to back. I can binge watch it because I bought it and the show quit being made years ago. But imagine if you followed it week to week. So now you watch season one, you're left with a cliffhanger, you gotta wait a week to watch, you know, the final episode of the season before they go on a 5-month hiatus, and the bad guy gets away, and they never touch it again. It was an F you. They gave old Chael an F. It is, it's a middle finger right to the audience. And that's why I'm tired. You could probably see it in my face, man. I'm dragging a little bit. It was worth it. I had a lot of fun. I love to binge watch a show. It's a very rare opportunity where something can grab me like that. But man, they facepalmed me.
I'm sure there's more shows like that would fix that issue. But did the story end conclusively as far as everybody else, or did this the fact the bad guy got away just tick you off?
Well, okay, so here's the thing.
You wanted closure on him.
Thank you for saying that. That's a great word, because there has been shows before that shown me the middle finger. That does happen every now and then, and why they do it, I don't know, but it's not the first time. However, the way they left this, it was just open-ended. Like the final shot, so he gets in the back of an Uber, he's got a bag full of cash and a hunting knife as though he's going to do something to the poor Uber driver, and then they fade to a scenic of the big city of Los Angeles. They start showing the skyscraper and the lights, and he just kind of drives off into that. I didn't feel that was conclusive. I didn't feel it was clear that he got away. He's just in the back of an Uber. He's still in the very city where he committed the crimes, and the cops are out looking for him. So there's a reason for me to believe, as a viewer, that we're going to get a continuership out of this, and it didn't happen. That's why I had to go to the internet, because I was like, oh, he got away. That's what I'm supposed to derive from that, because all I have as a viewer is that he's in the back of an Uber and driving in to the skyscrapers and the lights of the city. That doesn't mean he got, right? They don't put him on a submarine and send him off to Germany, where I'm supposed to believe that he, you know, blends in. It was just weird. I didn't feel it was conclusive.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I will say American TV has a hard time ending shows. For some reason, America specifically does not know how to end a season or a show.
Yeah, I swear to goodness, man, some of these writers get themselves in a jam, and they don't know how to get out of it, and they just fade to black and roll the credits sometimes. And it is a bit annoying. I was a bit annoyed by this, though it was a fun show for me. Hey, by the way, so I gave you a hard time the other day because of your ridiculous statement about a battle royal MMA.
It was a question, not a statement.
All right, fair enough. It was you did put a question mark at the end of it. However, it was still ridiculous. Well, I thought you would get buried by the listeners. I go to social media. I'm checking the thing out. You got defended. People were defending you left, right, and center. Now, one of the reasons I had such a hard time with your statement is because you specifically asked about UFC and that brand.
Fair enough.
But apparently some battle royale-esque, and when we use that term, you and I are just talking about multiple people at the same time in the ring fighting one another in a riot-type situation, apparently has happened on foreign soil in some places, and people were sending me the links to it. And apparently, I can't believe this is going on. I mean, I've got my thumb so on top of MMA. I didn't know this one, though. Apparently, there's an active league today, not where you have to go back 15 or 20 years and find some old footage. Today, right now, in India, where it is a team situation, 2-on-2. Not a tag team where you tag a guy and both guys get in there at the same time. I haven't seen it. I really don't want to see it. That doesn't sound like sport to me. It's not something I'm personally interested in. I have to wonder, though, is that a work? I mean, is that a work? Is this hybrid professional wrestling? Come on, two guys are going to jump in there. What happens when one guy gets eliminated? Two guys go beat up another guy? Gee, I don't want to see that.
Well, I will tell you that's what my pals and I would do. Just go free for all the time. I mean, we don't try to kill each other, obviously, or wail on each other, but we've done it.
How old were you?
Teens.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. My buddies and I used to get together and do some horseplay like that, too, but that's still totally different when you're playing with friends. That's were you a poor kid growing up? Did you not have toys? That's why I had to do it. We didn't have toys.
Well, sometimes we got bored with our toys.
Oh, okay.
Let's get off the video games and fight each other.
All right. My buddy Justin and I were going to form a tag team, so we had to practice. We had no choice. We were going to take on Demolition when we grew up.
So you had a reason.
Yeah, we had a reason. We were in training.
Yeah.
We had a mattress, an old mattress, and we would drag it out and then like jump off the couch and elbow each other.
That's fine. That's fine. But then did you have more people?
No, we didn't have any friends. Yet. It was just us. Sounds like you ran deep in friends. No. It was just the
deep,
two of
at
us.
Least in friends who were fighting each other.
And his brothers
and
were
okay
older, so they didn't want to play with us. They thought we were annoying.
Okay.
Though we weren't. We were cool, but they thought we were annoying.
I will take that acceptance of a fight. Though I will say, don't you think that'd be fun, though? I'm still going to stand by that. As ridiculous as it is.
Not for me. I don't love violence. That's the thing. I don't love violence, and I don't want to see somebody get beat up. Now, if you're talking about a fair contest, right, I'm all in. But no, I don't like it. You know what? Let me dumb this down a little bit. I was up in Washington. Dennis Hallman, Benji Raddick, Ivan Salvary, some big names. But they had a little thing going in Washington. Josh Barnett, I think, got into a couple of these. But they would do tag team grappling. No punches, just grappling. And sooner or later, every single match, they'd cheat. Somebody, it was real. They were going at it. It was not scripted. But sooner or later, somebody wanted to observe a tag. So now you got two guys on one, and then the fourth guy has to come in. And it was an absolute hoot. I only got to see a couple of them. They did it all the time. I only got to see two of them personally. It was an absolute blast. And I wanted to do something like this, but out here in Portland, we operate in a cage. We don't have a ring. And if you're doing a tag team, you got to kind of have those ropes to come through and to get out of. But what they would do is they would tag in, and from the moment the tag was made, you had 5 seconds to get out. So another way of interpreting that, or the way they chose to interpret it, is you had 5 seconds to double team the other guy. So you're pulling him in positions and trying to stretch his arm, and then your partner's grabbing a hold, and then you got to get out. I mean, it's a melee. It's madness from the beginning, but it was never like two guys against two guys. It was like all four of them were teammates. Now, they were going out and legitimately trying to beat each other, but it would always turn into kind of what you described, where it's some buddies playing and to hell with the rules and what's going to happen to us. It was fun, man. It was a hoot, and you had to go into it knowing that. To appreciate it, but as a fan, and again, this was a straight shoot, whether it sounds like it or not, I want to convince you of that, because these were not scripted. But goddamn, they were sure to cheat every single time. At some point, you're going to have four guys in there with a referee that can't get control, and it's hilarious, and it was great, and it was good action. So, but that's as far as I go. I don't need to see one guy holding another guy's arms back, and a guy, I'm not that guy.
Okay, fair enough. I still think it'd be fun just once, just to see what happens. Or maybe we should pull up a video of those fights that people sent us links to.
Oh, yeah. Of course you want to do that because it vindicates your ridiculousness.
Well, I'm okay saying it's ridiculous. I have no problem with that.
Have I given you a Joel update?
No.
So where we left off, I gave you one about a month or so ago. I told you he was shot at. Right?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. So all's well. He totally fine. I don't have a huge update for you, but I'll give you what I got. I just spoke to him. Lad's out there for Thanksgiving. He's still in Kansas City, and I thought he was coming home, particularly after he got shot at. I thought, well, that's that's kind of the nail in the coffin of that. But no, I was wrong. He still likes his job, and he's a one-man show. A guy owns a car lot, and Joel runs it top to bottom. Joel is the only guy with a key. He is the only guy that walks in there, so he's in charge of sales, placing the lot, making sure the cars are clear. I mean, you go through it, financing, finding customers. He walks a deal through from start to finish. It's just him. The reason I bring that up to you is, one, he is a bit of a sitting duck, if you were talking about a crime situation. But secondly, and more importantly, is the commission structure of the car lot. He keeps it all. So he's just cleaning up out there. Greed's a hell of a thing, and it's very hard to walk away from that situation. I think he's really enjoying himself. So that's really all I got. Happy Thanksgiving. There you go. Quick Joel shout out.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there you go. All right, should we do a show today or what?
Let's do a show.
Let's get into it. What do you got? Oh, I saw something. I was telling you yesterday, Wednesday, about Nate Diaz and Tyron Woodley. I believe that fight is going to happen. However, my ingredients to that recipe of believing it's going to happen is that Tyron Woodley came out and said, this is the fight I want. It's very rare that a champion calls somebody out. The champion gets called out. So when you have those rare occasions and the champion says, you, it generally does go down. And the champion's the hardest one to get on board. So when the champion comes to the table, everybody else kind of has to go, oh, okay, let's do it your way. Just not something you see very much. So I believed in it. Nate hasn't fought in a while. Nate's going to want to fight, right? He's got like anybody else, got to get a paycheck. He's in the gym working hard. Why not? Well, then I just saw something that Nate is holding that up. And this is all rumor at this point. None of this is from Dana or a UFC member. But I still believe it to be true because it's just so hard to keep a secret in this business. And Nate's the one that's holding it up. So I don't know if that's accurate or not. But again, it's against the grain. Usually the champion is the one resisting. The contender will do anything to get the shot. So everything's just a little bit out of whack, but no rules really apply to the Diaz boys, right? They've always kind of marched to the beat of their own drum. So it wasn't a huge surprise other than I didn't see it coming. So hopefully they can work whatever they got to work out with Nate, and hopefully we get that match. Because I like to have a little fun, and that's fun. Diaz's are fun, man. There's no way around it.
Huge name recognition.
Diaz cut a promo.
All over the place.
Diaz cut a promo, okay, side by side with Conor McGregor. He's at T-Mobile Arena. This is speaking to my point that they're just fun. He's at T-Mobile Arena, which is the newest and most expensive venue in the country at the time that this is happening, with the greatest technology and the great blah, 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 brand new. Everything's new, cutting edge. The opening question comes to him, and his response is, these speakers suck, and I can't hear an effing thing you're saying. That has nothing to do with Conor. That has nothing to do with the fight. That has nothing to do with ticket sales. It was the pop of the night. It was so damn funny when he said it, how annoyed he said it. The fact that he just shoved it up the ass of the newest, most expensive arena in the world. You never saw that coming. Making fun of Conor, no problem. Teasing your opponent, yeah, that's kind of what we're expecting. When he unintentionally comes up with something like that and brings the house down, and then it turned out he was telling the truth. I could hear him just fine the way it was piped in, but he couldn't hear it with the feedback where he was sitting. Dana White speaks next, and Dana supports him and goes, yeah, hey, guys, we can't hear anything you're saying up here. So it didn't even have anything to do with Conor. You know, in fact, I go back to the hotel. Nick arrives. Nick gets there late, and I happen to see Nick at check-in. So he's like, hey, what's going on? You know, did you see the press conference? How'd my brother do? I'm like, yeah, your brother killed it. He goes, well, what did he say? And I go, he said he couldn't hear anything they were asking. And he looked at me like, what's that got to do with the thing? I'm like, go back and watch the tape, Nick. It just worked, man. It just, you and your brother just have the system and you just can't miss. And I don't know why. You guys are two of the biggest PR nightmares out there. But you can't, you're geniuses at the same time. Unintentionally, I'm not willing to give them credit. It's on accident. But it keeps on working.
PR night, it's the whole phrase, any publicity is good publicity.
There
I'd
you
say
go.
They're geniuses.
Do you know what, do you remember when Nick was supposed to fight George St. Pierre and didn't show up?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. I'll set the stage for anybody that might have forgot this, but this comes back to my point of their unintentional, okay, their unintentional brilliance. But it's brilliance nonetheless. I can't give them the full tip of the hat because I know it's on accident. Nick, for whatever reason, doesn't get on the airplane, doesn't come to the press conference. Now, the way this press conference is going to work, and this is becoming more common, but at that time, no, this was not. It's just the main event. So it's just George, Dana in the middle, Nick on the other side. That's how it's set up. So if one guy misses, it's not like, well, I just move out the press conference. There's seven other fighters up there, like they traditionally do it, or nine other fighters where they bring the whole main card. It's just the two of them. When Nick doesn't show up, there's now no press conference. So Dana White walks out there on stage like a fool. George is sitting up there like a fool, and the media's got to flip the cameras on and cover it like fools because this is what's scheduled. So Dana, doing the only thing he can do to save the show, calls Nick's manager in front of everybody. And Caesar Gracie picks up, and Dana says, hey, Caesar, where's Nick? And Caesar goes into the whole bit about, man, we couldn't get him on the plane. I don't know what's happening. He's a grown man. I can't. What am I supposed to do? Dana's so upset, he says, I'm going to pull the fight. This fight is off. It's done. If I can't count on a guy, and Dana's logic was pretty solid. He said, if I can't count on a guy to show up to a press conference that he's agreed to come to, has a ticket and a hotel room and a car waiting for him to come. How can I count him to come to a fight? Right? I can't be fooled twice. I can't be bitten twice by the same guy. I gotta learn from this. Jacob, they got so much press for Nick refusing to do press that not only did they have to make the ESPN cover this five different ways. The fact that Dana's standing up there on a cell phone talking to Caesar Gracie in California with George sitting there in a three-piece suit and that Nick Diaz's chair empty. They got so much press for it. He had to go with the fight and just hope to hell that Nick showed up. And he did, and they killed it. And the PR team at the UFC thought it was going to flop because Nick didn't do any PR. It's like, no, guys, there's PR being done. It's not by Nick. It's by that empty chair with Nick's name in front of it. But this is working. Just take the gamble. And they did, and it worked out. But a cool story, but it comes back to my point that I'm not giving them the pat on the back that they probably deserve. This isn't a recipe. Here's what I'm saying. If you're writing a book on PR, okay, you cannot say, yeah, as a matter of fact, two of the highest paid, biggest name athletes ever, this is how they did it. Go out and do what they did. No. It does. No, absolutely not. It just works for them. Brock Lesnar's another one. He doesn't do any media, including in the WWE. He walks out there. He's still the biggest attraction they got. And Paul Heyman does his talking for him. Now, Vince's thought process behind that, and it doesn't get credited to Brock, it gets credited to Vince, is that monsters don't talk. Monsters don't speak. Keep them quiet. Keep people guessing who this guy really is. Because what if it turns out Brock's a hell of an intelligent, nice, charismatic guy? Well, that's not how we're marketing him. So let's just have him stand here, all muscled up, big old tattoo coming up to his neck, and keep selling out arenas.
Sometimes,
so every now and then, off script is the script.
Sometimes no news is the best news.
There
in
you
that
go.
Case. Yeah, that I'll give them the pat on the back. I like it. Maybe they're not doing it on purpose, but whatever they're doing, it's fun. It's good. And what would be even hilarious is if they don't even know. I'm sure they do a little bit, but they just keep doing their thing, and they're like, they give you the shrug shoulder, like, how are you doing this? What am I doing?
Sure.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I'll give them a pat on the back even if they don't know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, and if someday they revealed to us that this is all their master plan, which is not going to happen, if, in the world of if, then you really give them a pat on the back and go, man, yeah, you're a good worker.
Yeah.
You fooled me.
The Diaz brothers.
Yeah.
Planned us to work on it.
All right, guys, listen. If you need talent for your business, but you're short on time, okay, if you don't want to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire, I can tell you all the tools, the smarter tools, the ones the executives are using when they're hiring to make it easier, to streamline things, to make it less consuming. Just go to ZipRecruiter. It's that easy. ZipRecruiter.com. Guys, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. And I'll tell you what makes ZipRecruiter different than everybody else. They are going to find the candidate for you. You don't have to go through a stack of resumes on your desk. You don't have to go through all of your emails. Most people, and this is companies of all sizes, from ma and pa shops to Fortune 500, they are finding the perfect fit, the perfect candidate in just 24 hours. And right now, you guys can post for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. One more time, and it's totally free. ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen.
Hey, my name is James Petragallo.
I'm Jimmy Wisman.
Please join us every single Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
So fun.
You like sports?
You don't have to.
Let's just set up a context and find out what an idiot did wrong. What
I
do
like
you say?
It. I'm in.
We're going to do that each and every week. We take an athlete, we break him down, we make fun of everything he's ever done.
Yeah. But in order to do that, we have to build up and tell you all about their career and get you to what, James? To grace.
And then watch them fall from grace.
Who doesn't
as they inevitably
like that?
Do. Join us. Big criminals, small criminals, sports you've never heard of, doesn't matter. It's the crime, it's the comedy, it's such a good time. Join us every Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
You can join us every Tuesday at podcast1.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on all Apple products.
Find us every Tuesday and laugh at people.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Khabib spoke up on Conor. He said the reason Conor pushed the referee is because referees don't push back. I thought it was a good little line.
It's a good line.
It's a good line to keep himself out there.
Still a coward move.
Oh, it's a total scumbag move. It's a scumbag move by Conor. But, you know, what the hell are you going to do? Are we going to sit here and kick the guy forever? The guy's done a lot of really good things. He's done a couple of dumb things. And I want to keep it in the lines. I'm not really cheering against Conor on this one. Something has to happen. But I'm good with something kind of light. You know, I think that Scott Coker's opinion of this matters. It's his show. Multi-million dollars. It's his risk. It's his balls out there. And I think if Coker was to be a little candid with us, maybe it'd have to be behind the scenes. But he'd probably say, look, it made good TV. And I don't like that people were assaulted. I'm not okay with that. But as far as him jumping in the ring and doing the celebration, it did help my ratings. And you know, I don't know that Coker's all that pissed. You and I have talked about this before. The person with the most standing in the matter has to be the opinion that we take the most. So I guess my point to you is I don't want the world to come down around Conor for this, but there was a bad action and something needs to happen and we'll see what it is. And maybe that's just that guys like you and I say we're a little disappointed in him. I mean, that's a bit of a punishment. I realize it's light, but that's something.
Well, sure. I mean, he's as a year down the road, we're all going to have forgotten about this. That's the thing.
And 2 weeks, get, 2 weeks down the road.
Sure, sure. But this, especially when he gets back in the ring. No one's going to remember that.
No one's going to remember it. Now, what wasn't the world's biggest deal, but still a violation. All right,
we got to get to the big juice now. Your ESPN dropped your lineup and your fight on Wednesday.
Yep.
The day the first show dropped. So we got to get into that. First of all, you're fighting Rampage.
I'm fighting Rampage. So you and I, we thought that was probably the way it was going to go.
That was the guess, yes.
Yeah, and it was down to Rampage or Roy is the last news I was given. And it looked like it was going to be Roy Mitra. So you started to kind of guess the bracket, and the guesses just came out spot on. So, yeah, Max and Brett broke it on ESPN. Let me do it for any fan that doesn't know. Well, let me just do myself. I'm fighting Rampage on January 20th. ESPN did not report Jacob, but they probably should have. The eight guys in the tournament will not all be fighting at one time.
No, it's going to be like you fight, and then next week, the next couple of weeks. Yeah, exactly.
It's not Battle Royal format. We're not all in the ring. Okay. I mean, well, just to clarify, because apparently there's still knuckleheads out there, like the one I'm staring at right now, that... that thinks that could be a possibility. So, Rampage and I think we go first, and I think it's only us. I think the quarterfinal, which will constitute four matches, it's just Rampage and I that night, I believe.
So no
next,
no card before you. You won't be like a main event sort of thing. It will just be you guys.
Yeah, I don't know who the main event is that night, but there is a title fight between Rory.
Oh, they will put a title fight.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, Rory's going to challenge Douglas, so I believe that'll be the main event. All right, here, let's take a quick peek at this. So Rampage and I up first. We're in January 20th. We then, okay, so Mir and Fedor are on my side, so they actually did do a bracket. Some people were asking, and MMA history says you do one round and then you redraw it, which I don't like, and you and I have spoke to that. We should do a straight line bracket because everybody understands it, right? From the what is it, the Super 32 to the Sweet 16,
Sweet 16,
Final 8 or Final 4, whatever the hell it is. But you get the point. People understand brackets. Yeah. I do too. So, okay, on my side of the bracket is Fedor Mir. Now, that's good news for me because just on a personal level, the one guy I don't want to fight is Mo. So it would be a while until I would have to fight Mo. So, okay, let's stay on Rampage here. So it's Rampage and I. It's heavyweight. It's at the Forum in L.A. on January 20th. All right, that's official. And then let's see here. Fedor versus Mir, they fight in April. They don't have an exact date.
Huh. So they're going to wait almost, you win and then you have to wait like 7-6 months.
Well, yeah. So let's see. So then Mitrione and Roy Nelson are going to fight and they're going to fight. Well, no, they're fighting in February. Okay. So it's February and then Mir fights Fedor in April. And then in May, Bader and Mo. So the semifinals would be in the later part of the year. So let's see, if that'd probably be around July and at the latest August for the first one, which I would expect to be part of since I'm on the top side of the bracket. Yeah, so a couple of fights, and then you culminate the whole thing. What do you think, December, maybe January of the following year?
I'd do December.
Yeah, December, January, wherever you can get the date, you bring it all together. So pretty cool, though. And I like that they did a straight line bracket. And people just get that. I've always thought it was a miss. You know, even the Ultimate Fighter, which is a tournament, that part does bother me. When you come down to those 16 guys, you break it down to those 8 guys, let's just do a straight line bracket, just so we all understand what's happening here. Couple of problems with doing that is it's not just team versus team. Sometimes you got to cannibalize your own team, right? If the guys advance and it's your own workout partners and your own team, but you still got to fight because it's one guy left standing. So just do a straight bracket just so everybody knows. I think it adds conversation on it. I mean, right now, I just tell you, for me as an athlete, it's one at a time, so I got to keep my eye on Rampage. That's a little easier said than done. That's actually a bit of a mental struggle. You're always looking ahead. You just don't. It's just not good to. But you're always looking ahead. So for me, I don't have to look any further than Mir, Fedor, and Rampage. Those are the guys on my side. Should I advance? I mean, now you're talking about a conversation way down the road. Yeah, yeah, you don't know who's going to advance on the other side. You can't really start breaking down that math. Your mind, even if it wants to wander, just can't really go to that place. There's too many moving parts. So that's all I got, man. That's the bracket. And I'll tell you what, the fan in me, I like all the matches. I'm pretty intrigued by all of them. I think Bader and Mo stands out, though. It stands out for me because Bader is the light heavyweight champion. Mo is a light heavyweight. So they're going to go out and fight, but the championship's not on the line because we're in a totally different division fighting for a totally different title. I think that's problematic and compelling. And there's nothing better for sport than controversy. So imagine Mo goes out and wins that match, and they met up before. It was an amateur wrestling, but they met up before and Mo beat him. So Mo's got some confidence there. Bader wants to get that one back. We got a storyline. We got two guys. A fight was announced for June 24th, Madison Square Garden. Didn't end up happening. So it's something that fans have had their eye on. Mo gets over on him, but Mo doesn't get the strap. It's just interesting. Bader comes through that thing. Bader's got to be considered a favorite for the whole, whoever comes out of that match has to be considered a strong problem for the whole field. So, that's one as a fan where I went, ooh. Cool matchup. Glad you made it.
So if Bader wins the whole thing, he's heavyweight and light heavyweight champ.
Oh, yeah.
So then we've got potentially, if let's say Bader won the whole thing, Mo's going to want that next fight. How does he want to fight him?
Are you saying Bader?
Bader.
Oh, you are saying Bader. All right.
Bader.
Ask the question again, because I wanted to tease you, and that's where my mind went. What was the question? Let me focus.
Let's say Bader wins the whole thing.
Okay, he wins the whole thing.
Lightweight and heavyweight championship, yep. Dual belt. There's going to be a rematch of Mo and Bader.
Yep.
Where does Mo want to fight him?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to fight both, just because.
And Mo's one of those guys, Dan Henderson-esque in this regard, where the bigger the opponent, the better he does. He's one of those guys where his disadvantage in size has always benefited him. He just hits so hard. He's so fast. Some of those bigger targets, they just can't get out of the way. He hits like a heavyweight but has the speed of a light heavyweight. Mo is a lot smaller than you would think. To give you an example, like even when I stand next to Mo, I go, man, what a big guy. But then he gets on the scale and you go, where the hell's all your size at? Like for Rampage, he weighed in. I thought he looked about 220 to me. He weighed in at 211. This is a guy that has breakfast, then heads to the scale because he's so far underweight. Weighed in at 211 pounds. He's just not as big as you would think, but his power is so good. He never gets out. He's so goddamn strong. He doesn't get outstrength by those guys, and he's got the speed advantage. It's just Mo's a problem. Mo's a big problem for big guys. In fact, I would see Bader as being maybe the most likely guy to be able to deal with Mo. Because he does also have some speed. Very interesting match. Very hard draw right out of the gate. Quite frankly, Matt Mitrione, who's number one contender in Bellator, draws Roy Nelson. That's not an easy draw either. And they fought before, I'll remind you. I think it might have even been on The Ultimate Fighter, but Roy beat him. So even though Mitrione is the big man on campus right now, he's still got those memories. And so is Roy. I mean, Roy's going to come in there with some confidence. You know, I don't know where we all got on board with this missing Roy Nelson. Maybe we shouldn't quite do that so fast. So it's an interesting tournament. Now you got Shane Carwin trying to butt into this thing as an alternate, which is...
what's the deal with all that? These guys have been popping up going, hey, I want to be like a backup sort of thing?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, an alternate. So, well, there's actually a historical reason for that. It's a very smart move. First off, right, Shane Carwin's always got an argument to be in there. He's former champion. Been out for a little while. People want to see him again. And I believe I was going to say Cormier stepped into the Strikeforce Grand Prix as an alternate. That's not totally true. He was an alternate. He was the number 9 guy, if you will. However, he got in right off the bat. Something happened to the number 8 guy, and so Cormier got right in, but he won the whole damn thing. And this is before Cormier was Cormier. This is before anybody knew who he was. In fact, Josh Barnett was really his coming out party. And, you know, and then the story just goes from there. Now, guy's a legend, reigning world champion and absolute legend in the sport. So there is something to be said for that. But there's been UFCs back when they only used to do tournaments. Now, this was all in one night, so I'm kind of muddying the waters here a little bit. But still, where alternates stepped in and won the whole thing. And the reason that was unfair when they were doing it all in one night is, let's say a guy fights. It was 8-man tournament. So let's say a guy fights, then a guy fights again, but he can't walk out for the finals. Well, his opponent also had to fight 2 men. Now you throw an alternate in that's completely fresh. Not a level playing field.
That's a bit wrong.
But the show must go on. What the hell do you do? And there was a guy, was it Jenham? Was it Steve Jenham was his name? He was a cop. He stepped to that exact situation. He had no fight. Somebody else had 2. They couldn't walk out for the final. All in one night. Opponent had 2 fights. Had to walk out there. Jenham gets thrown in. Jenham leaves the champion. We'll go down in history.
That's really cool, but it's really wrong at the same time.
You see where it's wrong. Now, this isn't the same thing where things are spread out, but you do need to have an alternate. And if you name somebody, you want somebody with name recognition, I think that Carwin's a perfect fit. You know, you do want to have an alternate of some level there that you mix into the promotion, right? Juror number 13, if you will. And if you got to throw him in, you want a guy that can still draw and still has some credibility. Who better than a former champion that says he wants to do it? Boom. Insert Shane Carwin. I say put him in.
Cool. So he's on standby just this whole year. He's allowed to fight, right?
No. You know what? No. He's not officially the alternate. I'm just saying he's asked to be,
right.
And I get it.
Right.
I think of anybody that has asked. You know, Rory asked too, but Rory's already busy. He's fighting for championship against Douglas. He's... three weight classes down. I don't think that that's a likely one. But Shane makes some sense, so we'll see where that goes.
All right.
I don't have a fine. There is no definitive answer on that. I'm just sharing my opinion, but I think it makes sense. And I think it was very smart of him to ask.
Going back to Mo and Bader, who do you think has got that one?
Yeah, so, you know, they wrestled in college. It was the quarterfinals at the NCAA tournament. And a college wrestling match doesn't have a whole lot to do with anything, but I'm just saying.
Blood match.
Yeah, the mask is off. They know each other. They've gone out. They pushed and pulled. They know who's stronger, who's faster, who's in a little better shape. And things don't really change just because it's 10 years later. You know, they really don't. People love to say, well, this is going to be different, but they're really not, at least in those regards. Whoever's stronger, whoever's faster, whoever's in a little better shape, generally that just stays with you. Mo beat him, and Mo beat him pretty soundly. It was like 8-3, but that would represent 3 takedowns to none over the course of 3 periods. And, you know, I don't know. Does that translate? It's really hard to say. Mo's very consistent. Mo's got one problem, which is staying healthy. He's dealt with so many injuries, and he's such a tough guy, and he walks out there and deals with it most of the time, and sometimes he can't. So a healthy Mo, and that's what I'm going to take into account here, is just a handful for anybody, and then a Bader that believes in himself. And we've seen Bader go out and be timid at times, and it's like a whole different guy. But when he goes out there and believes in himself, guy's a champion. So what in the hell are you going to do? Pretty hard one for me to pick. But I would have my eye on that. If I was on that side of the bracket, I'd be looking at that match pretty close.
And how about your, assuming you win, which you will, against Rampage, Fedor and Mir, who would you rather want to fight next? Who would you want to fight next? Well, that's a double-sided question.
Yeah, actually. It is.
It's like, who would you want to, but then also, but who would be better for you, kind of?
Yeah, well, anytime you're asking me who would you want to, all I'm going to do, because this is a tournament, it's all about advancement. Come hook or crook. I wouldn't care if it was disqualification. I wouldn't give a damn. I've been in brackets before. I've had guys get disqualified. Don't give a damn. Advance. That's the only thing you're trying to do. I take a forfeit, a disqualification, a win, a pin, a quick, a catch, a win, you name it, as long as your name moves forward. So I guess how I would answer your question is I would sit and think, which one do I think is an easier fight? And that's who my guy, that's who I would want to fight. It wouldn't be, well, this is going to be a bigger fight, or it wouldn't have anything to do with that. It's about advancement and getting to the finals. So, and I don't know. I'm not willing to call either one of those guys an easy fight. I'm not off the Fedor bandwagon yet. I'm just not there. You know, and I did Ariel's show the other day, and he goes, well, I don't know how much I want to see Fedor fight anymore. I've seen him take a lot of damage. And that's kind of surprised me, because it's kind of going, well, Ariel, hold on a second. I mean, let's just look at his last outing with Matt Mitrione. He knocked Mitrione out. The problem was Mitrione knocked his ass out too, and it was whoever recovered the fastest. So I'm just not quite on board with dismissing Fedor just yet. And then Mir's such a problem because he's mean. Mir's like Barnett. He doesn't go to get a submission to catch you and give you a chance to tap out. He's just going to rip it off and make the referee stop it. So he's very dangerous in that regard, and everybody has to respect him because of it. If he can get his hands locked around any limb, you're in big trouble, and he's not going to show you mercy. You don't need to. I'm not suggesting he needs to, but most guys do. He does not. Neither is Barnett. I mean, there's a couple of rough guys out there that are just going to go for it, and so they got to be respected. I like that matchup too, man. I'm into the whole thing. I like how they did it. I am very happy that they did do a straight line bracket. Gives us something to talk about.
Definitely.
I mean, you and I are proving it right now. We just broke down the quarterfinals, and you're already on to the semis. So that's fun, though. That's what a fan does. He starts looking at all the different parity, all the different possibilities, all the different matchups. And in this case, you go, oh, yeah, wow. You know, I'll use myself. If I told you I was going to fight Frank Mir, you'd go, cool. If I said I was going to fight Fedor, you'd go, cool. But now take me out of it. Put Rampage forward. Rampage is going to fight Fedor. Cool. Rampage is going to fight Mir. Cool. You can do the same thing on the other side of the bracket. There's just not really a bad way to do it. You can miss a match them any which way you want. It's a little bit disappointing. I'll go back to Daniel Cormier. It was a little bit disappointing when he kept advancing because he was the least known commodity. Now, that makes you scratch your head and go, what are you talking about? No, in this time, when he came through it, he was not a commodity. People didn't know who the hell he was. There was a reason he was an alternate. He was the number 9 man in an 8-man pool. He wasn't respected. He didn't deserve to be respected. He hadn't been in there very much. That's just not the case here. There's a whole bunch of veterans. You can miss and match these names any way you want. Put them on top of the marquee and fill up an arena. It's a good problem to have if you're running a business.
I would venture the Daniel Cormier would have been fun, though, because that's the underdog guy. That's the guy, hey, who? It's the question, what and who? Then you need to answer that, and Daniel's answering would be answering that all for himself. I like those underdogs coming up through the brackets. Now, you can't really put an underdog in this matchup, but I agree with your point. I like that it's straight line because of all the speculation that you can see. Now, on the other side, it's not going to happen, obviously, but would they have matched you according to rankings as far as like who won each match? That, like, say, like seeding and all that? Like,
yeah,
say
they did
number
not...
one seed, and then, okay, we'll match up with make the number one seed the easiest path, make the lowest seed, eight seed the hardest path.
Okay, so
I've done that sort of thing.
I don't know what the thought process was on how these came out. And I thought they were going to get a press conference together and then do a blind draw and just put everybody in the bracket. This is what I thought. It ended up not being this way. I don't know how they came down to these quarterfinal matches. I could make believe, but nobody's tipped me off. I'm going to tell you they didn't seed it. And I'm going to tell you that because I believe that Roy Nelson is probably the guy that nobody wants to fight in that tournament. He's probably the guys in the tournament are going, okay, here's the biggest problem. However, Matt Mitrione is the number one contender. Matt Mitrione's next fight should be for the heavyweight championship. However, they came up with a tournament. Now he's got to fight three guys. So Mitrione's perspective on this is the exact opposite of mine. Imagine if you're the number one contender in the company, who Mitrione is, and you believe I'm one fight away from being world champion. Then you get a call. You're in a tournament. You're three fights away. You're going, I'm three fights away. I thought my next one was four. I'm three fights away. What are you talking about? Now imagine you're me, not even in the division. Never one time thought about being heavyweight champion. You get a phone call that says, hey, three fights. You're the world champion of the heavyweight division. You go, really? Three fights away from the heavyweight. Right, totally different perspective. So pretty cool for me. Bit of a bum deal for Mitrione, and he draws Roy right out of the gate.
Yeah, that makes no sense as far as seeding.
That's my point. That's why I don't believe this thing was seeded. And I don't think they'd want to put a seed on it because then now you're going to offend guys. Oh, really? I'm number seven, huh? You think that these... And then all of a sudden, all hell starts to break loose.
That card could cause some interesting stories as far as like, oh, yeah, I'll show you.
Yeah.
And then it's not just, oh, I want to beat my opponent. Now it's like, I'm against the world now. I'm going to show everybody what I'm about to do.
Yeah, hell, I'm against my own organization now. You guys don't even think I can win it. All right, guys, go get yourself some Alpha Brain. This is a safe and natural supplement. It helps support memory, focus, and cognitive function. Sound too good to be true? Well, the Boston Center for Memory has found otherwise when it conducted a double-blind study showing its effectiveness. Alpha Brain has been the secret weapon of champion athletes and business professionals for years, and now it's available for you to try for free by going to onnit.com/chale. All you have to do is pay for the shipping. Guys, it's less than $5. They're going to send you a 30-count bottle of Alpha Brain right away. This is the same 30-count bottle of Alpha Brain that sells at onnit.com for $35. But through this special offer, for my listeners only, you're going to get it just for paying the shipping. It's gluten-free. It's caffeine-free. It's made from earth-grown ingredients. But most importantly, guys, it works. Onnit can only give away a limited number of free bottles per day. So go get your free bottle of Alpha Brain right now. Just go to onnit.com/chale. onnit.com/chale. That's onnit.com/chale to get your free bottle of Alpha Brain. You're going to pay the shipping. Don't be a cheapskate. It's $5. Go get your free bottle. Jacob, what else do you got for us?
Chale is fighting January 20th against Rampage Jackson.
Boom. That's all I got, too. Let's call it. Let's move on.
Good luck, man.
Ready to enjoy your weekend? Yeah, I mean, it's a couple months away, but yeah, thank you. I'll take a good luck wishing right now. Spoiler alert, Chael wins. Spoiler alert, Chael wins the whole damn thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Greatest fighter of all time. Come on. This is silly. But I am happy for these guys. They finally get that opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
To be face-to-face with the biggest draw in the history of a sport. What an opportunity. I don't blame Carwin and Rory for trying to get in on this. I really don't blame them. It's every young man's dream. But to Carwin and Rory, who are both perfectly nice guys, I'll whip your asses too at some point, but I'll do it as the champion. Until next week, for Jacob, I'm Chael, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, Judge Judy, John Harbaugh, and the Sklar brothers.
That was definitely a great moment to tell our parents, hey, we're not going to go to law school. We're just going to go ahead and do a job we could have done out of high school. Thanks for paying for college.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.